with.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Following a week of changes in White House staff and the imposition of tariffs on Chinese imports, causing fears of a trade war with China, Wall Street indexes again plummet. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropping 425 on the day, or 1.78% of its value. Even worse percentage-wise, the NASDAQ losing 2.43%. It falls by 174 points. The S&P drops 55 points, or 2.1% of its value. President Trump says he'll sign that 2,200-page, $1.3 trillion spending bill to fund the federal government through September. However, he warns he's not going to sign a bill like this again.
I'm not going to do it again. Nobody read it. It's only hours old. Some people don't even know what it is. $1.3 trillion. It's the second largest ever.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention shoppers, clean up on aisle 14. Clean up on aisle 14. Someone dropped a jar of pickles. Pickles.
Beatboxing at a big box store. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
A red minivan has the lights on in the parking lot.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Geico.
Walgreens has good news for anyone managing diabetes. We've got your back. That's right. Walgreens pharmacists are here to consult with you in person and answer any questions you may have about new and existing medications. You can even get free advice from our trusted experts day and night at walgreens.com or the mobile app. Walgreens has all major brands of diabetes testing supplies like Accucheck and Walgreens TruMetrics. That's not just good news, it's great news. Stop by and talk to your Walgreens pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
The Department of Justice detailing indictments in a massive cyber theft case. This time, it doesn't involve Russia, but rather Iran.
We're here today to announce that a federal grand jury in the Southern District of New York indicted 9 Iranians for conspiring to hack into computers and to defraud American and foreign universities, businesses, and government agencies.
Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein saying the suspects targeted about 144 U.S. universities, as well as the computer systems of the U.S. Labor Department, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and the United Nations. Meanwhile, the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security are investigating a huge cyber attack on the city of Atlanta's government computer system that may have compromised the personal data of thousands of residential and business customers. The mayor says anyone who's done business with the city could be at risk. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1-ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Busloads of young people converging on Washington, D.C. through the day today for the March for Our Lives demonstration there tomorrow. Some survivors of the Parkland, Florida school shootings already holding a rally today outside the U.S. Capitol, joined by former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, who was nearly killed in a shooting several years ago. Her husband, former astronaut Mark Kelly, also spoke, saying many of the young people who are gathering in Washington this weekend will also be voting this November. As many as a half million million people are expected to gather on Pennsylvania Avenue in the National Mall for tomorrow's demonstration, calling for tighter gun control following a series of shootings, including those shootings in South Florida last month. Similar rallies to be held tomorrow in a number of other U.S. cities. Four more Sweet 16 games to be played tonight in the Midwest region in Omaha. Top-seeded Kansas will clash with Clemson. Duke squares off against Syracuse. In the East region in Boston, top-seeded Villanova taking on West Virginia. Purdue plays Texas Tech, and the winners of those games will fight for spots in the Final Four on Sunday. And New York's City Council is going to consider a proposal that allows people to disconnect from their phones and emails without the fear of getting fired. A councilman who proposed it says the law makes it illegal for a company to require workers to access work email and other communications when they're off the clock. It applies to regular time off, sick days, and vacation time. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Well, good afternoon, and I'm hoping it's the sports guys, not just me, because I don't have a whole lot to say this afternoon. And the reason is I'm not a huge basketball fan, so I know that we're going to be watching the Final Four, and I think Kansas, Villanova, one Big Ten team, Purdue, is playing. I believe they're playing tonight. But, you know, my Wisconsin Badgers are not in it, and in fact, there have been a number of teams that were expected to stay in and have lost pretty quickly. So what's happening in the weather? Well, it's changing. Now we have, it said this afternoon, isolated showers. Actually, it was all pretty sunny everywhere I was this afternoon, but by tonight, could be low of about 26 degrees, and there are going to be some isolated showers and then partly cloudy. Prediction for tomorrow is still mostly sunny, and however, Sunday, which was predicted to be at least partly sunny, is now there's a 20% chance of rain or snow. So depending on the temperature, it could be about 45 degrees, so then it would be rain. But by tomorrow night, it's going to be mostly cloudy. And then, as I said, another slight chance of snow showers tomorrow night when it dips down to about 27 degrees. By Monday looks like it's going to be sunny. Prediction, sunny, high about 46 degrees, and could be sunny and as high as 50 degrees on Tuesday. So the weather this weekend's a little iffy. Looks like it's going to be better the early part of the week. And so we're going to be back in just one second with the sports guys.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Well, hello, and we're here, the sports guy and guys now. Bill Wolfson is joining me, and hope he has more sports news. The one thing I was looking at is the fact that the Jets, always a perennial favorite, right? I didn't realize that when they signed cornerback Jermaine Johnson, it was a 5-year, $72.5 million contract. Now, granted, he was arguably the top free agent at his position. However, wow, he spent 6 seasons with the Rams and had 18 interceptions when he was with them. Sometimes these contracts, it depends, you have to read between the lines. I would love to negotiate one of them, maybe not. But anyway, the deal, which is said to include $34 million guaranteed at signing. And so that makes Johnson's contract one of the biggest in franchise history. And, of course, he'll team up with cornerback at that position with Morris Claiborne. Now, it was interesting. I'd like to know what he's going to be earning this year. And he was, in fact, the Jets' top player at that position last season, and he's going to return on a 1-year deal. So, interesting, he's really going to have to be playing hard to make that more than a 1-year deal. But apparently the Rams used the franchise tag on Johnson in the last 2 off seasons. So, anyway, Bill, welcome, and I guess the weather is changing out there a little bit from that beautiful sunny afternoon. We can actually expect, possible showers tonight and then cloudy. So one of the things that you were talking about last week was going down to your boat. Now, frankly, the best day this week to do it might be Tuesday, sunny and high of around 50.
Well, unfortunately, Pat, duty calls, and on Tuesday I must be in court. It's always fun practicing law and trying to have hobbies in a normal life because work seems to get in the way of your fun. Have you ever noticed that, Pat?
Oh, no, not at all.
Meanwhile, the New York Jets have just made a huge offer to, and I'll try to say his name right, Ndamukong Suh, who is a serious football player. He is a defensive tackle cut by the Dolphins earlier this month. He's visited the Titans, the Saints, the Rams, and he canceled a visit with the Raiders. But with the Jets being able to offer the most money, Suh might have to take a lesser deal with one of the other teams viewed as more likely to be sooner to attend to contend for a Super Bowl title. So this is a crossroads for Suh. Does he continue to play for the highest bidder and go for the dough? Like a savvy businessman, he probably is, or his agent is, or does he take less chance for a greater chance to carry around a Super Bowl trophy and wear a Super Bowl ring?
And maybe get more money in the future. I mean, isn't part of it the length of the contracts and, of course, what's the guarantee? One of the things that we talked about this last week, and Jordy Nelson is going to the Raiders, and they offered him, I think, a 2-year, $13 million deal.
And how much of a guarantee did he get?
I'm not sure, but the point is, I think most people, they've been predicting this in Green Bay, that because of the cap, Jordy might not be back. But I think he was shocked, and any real good fans were shocked. But what is amazing to me is that, the Jets can sign a cornerback with a $34 million guaranteed. That's just astonishing to me for a cornerback.
Oh, I agree. But remember, the Jets are rebuilding. They are. They think they're going to be in the Rosen quarterback sweepstakes. I think they draft second. They have a second or third round pick because they didn't have a good season. They were only, 4-12, and they traded up. Additionally, the Jets have let go a number of guys, so they do have plenty of cap room. And quite frankly, the Jets are looking to be the team in New York that contends for the big prize. I guess they figure if the Eagles can do it, well, we wear green too, so we can do it.
Well, but don't you, I mean, you know, look, I'm not a Jets fan. I really don't follow them that closely. But, you know, Philadelphia has always, not always, but most of the time, had respectable teams. I mean, it wasn't that they were down in the cellar and, you know, always had a problem. I mean, they played some really tough teams. I mean, that's the other thing that when you look,
it's not an easy place to play football.
It's absolutely not. And when you look at, I just don't think the two leagues are at all equal. But also, when you look at the Eagles, I'm not an Eagles fan, but they've really lost some games that, number one, they should have won, or they lost them just by, you know, field goal, or, you know, not, it wasn't quirk. That they were looking so bad.
Oh, they weren't blown out of anything for years and years. Every now and then, you know, you wake up and you play a bad game. We all have bad days, and it's possible for 53 guys to have the same bad day at the same time. But you're right, the NFC East is a tough place to play, even though over the last year or so it hasn't been that strong. Meanwhile, look at where the Jets play. They do not play in a strong division. Quite frankly, I think, take nothing away from the New England Patriots, a team I don't particularly like, but they do play in a division where the competition is weak. Their best, the team that gave them the best fight this year twice were the Bills. The Jets,
which
they played decent. And they played Miami, who also played decently, but the Patriots are head and shoulders above the rest of their competition. And when you realize that that's six games out of your schedule that are almost gimmies, you know, you really just, you know, you gear up because on any given Sunday, who knows? That's why they play the game. But candidly, I always think the New England Patriots have an easy ride through their own division.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I also recognize how important good cornerbacks are on a team. I mean, you know, you can't just ignore that position, and sometimes I think that they don't get the best talent. But this guy, I mean, unbelievable. And I really haven't followed him. I guess I'll follow him a little bit more because, you know, $34 million guarantee, you really wonder, are they going to play that tough? Because even if he doesn't, he can make $34 million.
Well, let me ask you a question, and this is what I call one of those yo-yo deals. Tre'Mon Williams is returning to Green Bay after 3 years after he left to sign with Cleveland. Now he's back with the Packers again on a 2-year deal that they say is worth $10 million. His time in Cleveland was not great. He spent 3 years there under Ray Farmer's very strange regimen. He replaced younger talent at corner and safety, including Buster Skrine and T.J. Ward, and older players like Dante Whitner. And to be honest, Tre'Mon Williams struggled to match his good performance in Green Bay and playing primarily as a nickelback. He only had 2 interceptions and 15 passes defensed in 2 seasons, whereas with the Packers, every year he grabbed at least 3 interceptions. The Browns released him in early 17, so he caught on with the Cardinals, where he did a little bit better, but at that point he was 34 years old. He played 312 plays during the season, and he allowed 27 receptions and gave up 273 yards, no touchdowns, and had an opposing passer rating of just 4.4 per Next Gen Stats, and had 2 interceptions. So,
but what does he know about, You know, I can see where the Packers wouldn't sign him for more than 2 years. I remember him. I think he was a good player.
But why $10 million? Is he really worth it?
I mean, that's what's amazing to me, that they would get rid of Jordy and pay Williams $10 million.
I mean this is inexplicable. I mean, Demaryius Randall got traded to Cleveland earlier this month, and then the Packers are now turning to this guy who, you know, is 34 or 35, and I don't get why the Packers have changed their tendency in free agency, who, you know, under Ted Thompson with Brian Gutekunst now in charge. It's a new era there, and I wonder just how wise they've been in their player selection.
Well, I mean, to me, it's inexplicable that they would not renegotiate Jordy's contract. I think he, you know, my understanding is they offered him what would be considered a pittance at that level of play. You know, Williams was good, but again, if there, you could understand if, you know, he was 26, 27 years old, but he's at the end of his plane. I don't know who they think he's going to be replacing that is going to be that significant. And I think, frankly, a 2 year deal, $10 million is a lot of money when they were talking about problems with the cap and getting rid of people like Jordy Nelson.
I don't understand it. I can't figure out quite what's going on here. You've got the problem of the Packers playing in the same division as the Vikings, who have gotten stronger every year. The Bears in Detroit, I think, will be also Rams for a while. And it makes no sense to me why the Packers are signing who they're signing and letting go who they're letting go. Obviously, they're more in tune with this than I am, but I just don't get the Packers' business judgment or players' judgment.
Well, and, you know, they should be building the team around, you know, Aaron Rodgers is coming back. You know, they need to obviously protect him, and so that should be one of their major concerns. Do they have enough protection? Obviously, they can never totally protect a quarterback, but that's got to be significant. And then they need some guys so he can, you know, throw. You know, let's assume that he's going to be the same, maybe not quite as good as he was before he was injured. But let's, you know, who is he going to throw to? I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't some good guys, and they've signed and re-signed and given some big contracts to a couple people. I think, didn't they give a really big contract to Adams?
Yeah, and that makes no sense to me. I don't get a lot of this. And I know Teddy Bridgewater just came over to the Jets also, so go figure that one out. Meanwhile, the Jets are looking closely at Sam Darnold. I think we may see Terry Bridgewater playing for the Jets as their regular quarterback while they draft Sam Darnold and bring him along, because the Jets worked him out pretty hard, and they're certainly thinking seriously about him.
Well, and talking about what's going to be happening, I think one of the more interesting teams this year is going to be what's happening with Philadelphia and their quarterback situation. Well, I think they'd be foolish to let Foles leave. He's still there, right?
Oh, Foles is going nowhere as far as I'm concerned, unless somebody makes the Eagles an offer they can't refuse, because quite frankly, you don't know whether Carson Wentz is going to be 100%. He missed the last four games of the season, plus all of the playoffs, with the leg injury that he had in the Rams game, so we don't know what we're going to get with Carson Wentz. Whereas with Foles, we know what we have, and we know that he's certainly a Super Bowl champ.
And really stepped up. I mean, I think that, you know, once Wentz was hurt last year, it was like everybody, all the Eagles fans were, here we go again, great season, and now we're, you know, now we're going to blow it. And Foles really,
Foles,
I mean,
certainly did step up, Pat.
And he wasn't carried by the rest of the team. I mean, he really made a contribution.
But remember, the Eagles coach, Peterson, established a very positive, upbeat atmosphere there. Everybody was in it together. It was all for one, one for all. They just added some speed at wide receiver after letting one of my favorite guys, Brett Celek, go. Mike Wallace, who was with the Ravens the last 2 years, just signed a one-year deal with the Eagles on Thursday. Wallace has good speed, good hands, and he's a good guy to throw to. So where do the Eagles look next as far as free agency is concerned?
Yeah, wow. That's only a one-year contract. I mean, what, was he a free agent, or was he being let go?
The Rams let him go. He was a free agent. They didn't want to sign him up. We've got the NFL's annual meeting, which begins Sunday night. And you never know what you're going to see. Last year, the Eagles added cornerback Pat Robinson and defensive end Chris Long. Meanwhile, Robinson is now gone, and Long is still with the team. The interesting thing is, you know, with Jim Schwartz running the defense, there are only a few games where quarterbacks had success, meaning a lot of success with the get-the-ball-out kind of game plan. Aaron Rodgers was 30 for 39 with 313 yards and two touchdowns in a 27-13 win at Lincoln Financial Field in 1916. And Eli Manning had two good games against the Eagles last season, employing the same approach. And he was particularly on point at MetLife Stadium late in the season, where he completed 37 out of 57 passes for 434 yards, three touchdowns and an interception, even though the Eagles held on to win 34-29. I thought that was a very exciting game. I mean, my heart was in my throat thinking that the Giants were going to find a way to win, because I thought the Eagles were just hanging on to the ropes as the Giants just pounded away at them.
Well, and those are always interesting games, but in the end, as we know, the Giants didn't do it. And in fact, I thought last year would have been a year for the Cowboys. I really thought that the Cowboys starting out had, you know, kind of the best balanced team among the three, meeting Giants and Philadelphia and the Cowboys. But that certainly didn't happen. And what's going to happen right now is we're going to play a couple spots from our sponsors.
I think that'd be real good, Pat.
Back, and maybe we can get a hold of our friend John, who's out in Las Vegas, scoping out what's going to be happening when the Raiders move there.
That's right.
Back in a minute.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains...
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
We're okay, back, and we're Patricia back. Garrity, Packer Patty Smith, is going to try to see if we can't get Jovial John Manfreda on the phone to get a report from Vegas about how the Las Vegas Golden Knights hockey team played against Vancouver the other night. They're awful fast. And where the Oakland Raiders are going to be moving to, because they're building the stadium there with Bank of America's money. Meanwhile, I wanted to talk some more about football and the Eagles. You know, in the Super Bowl, Tom Brady completed 28 of 48 passes for 505 yards and three touchdowns. And remember, New England got 613 total net yards off the Eagles. Even so, the Eagles have made a lot of progress under Schwartz. And now with free agency, they've helped even more. They've acquired Michael Bennett in a trade with Seattle. And they just signed Haloti Ngata as an unrestricted free agent. So the Eagles look better up front now defensively. They can throw more combinations on offensive lines, rotate more, and create more favorable matchups. And they can also make quarterbacks forced into that get-the-ball-out-quick mode more uncomfortable. You know, the Eagles are going to be playing Minnesota this season, and the reports that the teams are meeting in the September 6th NFL opener have been confirmed. The Vikings are going to have Kirk Cousins getting the football out of his hands awfully quick, and the Eagles are much better equipped now up front to have a start-to-finish pass rush that can squeeze the edges and collapse a pocket. Cornerbacks coach Corey Unden has a lot of young talent to work with, and he's also going to have one of the more competitive rooms the Eagles have ever had. You can't really make any assumptions about the Eagles' depth chart, but he's going to let playing time sort itself out.
Let me ask you, Bill, are you saying that you know the schedule for next year? It's already been
announced that the Eagles are opening in Minneapolis against the Vikings.
Wow.
Now, that ought to be a fun game. After the thumping the Eagles gave the Vikings.
Wow, that should be.
The Vikings were totally put back on their back foot, totally surprised. They were completely bamboozled by the Eagles' rush.
So is the entire schedule up? Because I hadn't heard that.
I don't think that the entire schedule is up yet, but this game was announced by the Eagles. The schedule may actually be coming out. I think the schedule is due to come out this weekend, isn't it?
I don't know. I think that's a little early. What day is that? Now, is that September, a regular season game or is that a preseason game?
It's a September 6th opening night for the NFL, their first game. That might even be a Monday night game. I haven't checked the calendar yet, but, you know.
Well, that might be a fun game because it's a beautiful time of year in Minnesota and Wisconsin. So now, as we know, it was very cold during the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl itself was inside, but you didn't want to walk around. And frankly, sometimes it gets almost too cold to ski, although, as I said, my favorite sport out there is ice boating. But that would be a good time. You should look into getting tickets. That would be a good, fun trip for you, Bill, to go and watch the Eagles and the Vikings.
It certainly would if I'm not sailing my boat. I'm hoping that this weather breaks so I can start getting it ready, because I was down the shore last Saturday, and after having a nice lunch with my wife at the Shrimp Box at Point Pleasant, good food, folks, and it's right by the Coast Guard station and the inlet. We went down to Ocean Gate to check out the boat, and the bilge had some water in it, and we had one other leak. But other than that, I'm itching to go. Unfortunately, this weekend doesn't look too pretty or too warm, and so I might just pass it up and do the good thing for my clients. So With that in mind, let's talk more about the Eagles and their defense. You know, Ron Darby's going to come back from an injury. And we've got second-year man Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas, who should have improved. Jalen Mills, who's a hard-working guy, is still an Eagle. And the Eagles just picked up Darryl Worley, another new guy. So who's going to start on the outside? Who's going to groom for the nickelback spot? The Robinson man, but is gone. We don't know. But we're going to see a very interesting new Eagles offense. No one really knows where they're going to go in free agency. Trey Burton signed in Chicago. Brett Celek is trying to get a job as free agent, so hopefully opening a tight end position. I'd like to see him with the Jets. Meanwhile, the Eagles still have Pro Bowl tight end Zach Ertz, Billy Brown, Josh Perkins, and Aaron Zaruba. Brown was with the Eagles through the end of the 17 season on the practice squad, so he knows the system and he's got the skills, and maybe he's ready, maybe he's not. But remember, in terms of wide receivers, the Eagles had a great year out of bounce-back Nelson Aguilar, who finally began fulfilling his promise. He's a great example for anybody. We're also looking at a guy at running back, Wendell Smallwood. Despite his nagging leg injuries, he seemed to take a good step forward. So this is a huge offseason for Smallwood, and no one's given up on him, but he's got a crowded roster picture with J.E. and Corey Clements in the line for more touches of the ball. The Eagles are likely to add another back or two in the next 6 weeks. Smallwood has to be in tip-top shape when the off-season conditioning program opens in mid-April, when the team steps on the field for organized team activities. Carson Wentz put out a video showed throwing him a football at ignore my smartphone there, Pat. Throwing the football wearing a knee brace. He's approaching his rehab with a good mindset. That is to attack the process, remain upbeat through all the challenges of recovery. And the Eagles are not placing a timetable on his return. He's not coming back until he knows he's 100%, and he's medically cleared, and he's ready for live action. So the Eagles have the best quarterback situation in the league, an MVP player in Wentz, who's about as motivated as you can be, Super Bowl most valuable player Nick Foles, and an emerging young quarterback in Nate Sudfield, who will benefit greatly from taking a lot of reps this spring and in training camp. He's got two great quarterbacks to learn from. So this is a starting point for success for the Philadelphia Eagles, hopefully for a long time coming in what proves to be a tougher NFC East.
Well, and, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about recently is the position that probably is ignored the most on football teams. And when you think about it, is one of the can be an incredibly offensive force. And you're probably not even understanding what I'm talking about, right?
Nope, I rarely do understand, Pat.
Well, one of the things that I started to look at last year was the Rams punter. You know, think about it. How often when the punter gets that ball down, you know, around the 10-yard line or, you know, close to the end zone, how hard it is to bring that ball out of that, you know, back where they're backed up to the goal line. And I've seen that over and over and over with the Packers, that, you know, they'll be playing a great game and all of a sudden they'll be way down and they have a hard time, you know, even coming out and making a first down.
Well, that's always a problem when you're backed up on your own end zone. It's always itchy because you could end up giving up a safety and handing 2 points and having to kick the ball to the other team, or one fumble and suddenly you're down 7 points.
Well, I really like that Rams all-pro punter Johnny Hecker. Is that his name, Johnny Hecker?
Yep.
Because he is, he's just amazing. And, you know, I think he is so far superior than any of the other punters as far as percentage of punts not returned, you know, to the opponent's 20-yard line. Because, I mean, that's the goal, to get it down to at least the 20-yard line. And I think he has by far the highest percentage of punts, way downfield. And so, whoever thinks of a punter, as being that important. I happen to know a young man from this area that hopefully will be the starting punter at Penn State. I know that's what his goal is. And, most of us don't even think about, the punter. And usually punters have been, am I right, most of them have been soccer players?
Many have. There are many soccer-style kicking punters. I remember 35, 40 years ago when the NFL began experimenting with bringing in guys who had been soccer players for that unusual kicking style where it was from an angle rather than straight ahead. And it seems to work. It seems like you get more rotation on the ball. The ball seems more accurate. And you don't end up with as many missed punts. Plus, you get some very long kicks. I always find the kicking game to be the most interesting part of football because, it's where you're sort of upsetting the apple cart and starting over again, either when you've scored or when you can't score and you've got to punt the ball away and hope your defense can do something good for you. And it's also exciting because you never know when someone's going to break it for a long run and a touchdown. I always like watching the special teams play. I mean, to me, that's exciting. You get some interesting guys. One of my favorite returners was always Herschel Walker, who played in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, I remember them. I remember Herschel Walker.
And he was fun to watch, and he was a great running back, could actually catch the ball if it was thrown to him. But I saw him run back some punts and some kickoffs for 7 points or for a lot of yards. And he was hard to bring down, I have to say. But, Pat, let me ask you, now that baseball season's coming about, do you have a favorite baseball team this year?
Well, I'm always a Cubs fan. What can I tell you? I never give up on the old Cubbies. But let's just go back to Hecker one more time.
Okay.
Because I remember, a punt against Wisconsin during the senior season where it was kind of a minus 4 yards. And so I guess that, even the great ones sometimes, don't have, they can also screw up once in a while. But I thought that was, who would have ever thought after watching that he'd go on to be probably the most outstanding punter. I think he is the most outstanding punter in the NFL.
And who is that?
Hecker.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, he really is, he's...
Punter or punt returner?
No, punter.
Punter.
Yeah, not punt returner.
Punter.
Punter. And I mean, that's what I'm saying. If you get these punts way down to the goal line, it's very hard for a lot of the quarterbacks to, move that ball. And very easy to, stop them because they don't want to be too... aggressive. They don't want to be sacked down there. They don't want a safety, and that's one of the things they have to worry about, that they're going to get caught in the end zone. And it's kind of interesting if you can get a very accurate punter. Obviously, we all love the punt returners. I mean, who doesn't? In fact, some of the concerns is whether or not there should be even punt returns. I mean, there are some people out there that say it's too dangerous.
I like punt returns.
Well, I think most of us love punt returns because
they're fun.
And you're always looking and hoping that you're going to get that
99 yarder, or that your defense on your special teams is going to block a punt. Because remember, the punting team is still the offensive team. I find block punts very exciting because it adds a chaos to the game.
Oh, well, of course it does. But I think that, they're talking about, safety, and one of the concerns is, it's pretty easy to get hurt on these punt returns. Now, I agree. I would hate to see that taken out of football because, You know, it doesn't happen often, but every once in a while you see that 95-yard run or that 90-yard run or that 99-yard run, and it certainly has a momentum, I think, of changing the game. I mean, I think that's the kind of thing in football
exactly
that really can change, you know, the game.
Oh, the big Mo goes just
yep.
the other way.
Yep.
No fooling about that. Meanwhile, let me ask you, as a Packer fan, and this is coming from a Jets fan about the deal that broke
a
my
Jets
heart.
Fan?
A Jets
or
fan?
Or an Eagles fan?
As well as an Eagles fan. What's your expectation of Muhammad Wilkerson?
Oh, I think that was good. I think that was a good
pickup for the Packers.
I think that was a good pickup. But again, how old is he? He's
I think he's 34.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little surprised that the Packers are, you know, bringing on guys that are kind of at the end of their career. You know, they you know, why not keep, and I'm going to harp back again, why not keep Jordy Nelson? He may be at the end of his career, but he was always, you know,
I personally think Muhammad Wilkerson's got a lot of miles left.
Do you?
I think he plays another 3-4 years, and I think he's going to make a Packer defensive line that was suspect
a whole lot
stronger.
And they do need that. I mean, they need to do whatever they can to protect Aaron Rodgers and whatever they can for a defensive line.
I think he's going to be putting an awful lot of quarterbacks right
well,
on the back.
Right. I think they need an offensive line to protect Aaron, and they need a defensive line to scare the bejeebies out of the quarterbacks on the other side.
You know, he made an interesting comment. He played his first 2 years in Mike Pettine's system, who's the Packers' new defensive coordinator. And he began showing signs of serious playmaking ability after 2 years under Pettine's coaching. In 2012, Wilkerson had 69 tackles and 5 sacks. And he has experience lining up anywhere on the defensive front. And he commented how he enjoyed how Pettine's mix of exotic blitzes would keep an opposing offensive line off balance. So Green Bay certainly has a good shot at becoming a dominant defensive football team with this guy.
Well, you know, you talked about the defensive coordinator. I don't know anything about him. I mean, you know, anybody
signed with the Packers. He just signed.
Yeah.
He just became a new defensive coordinator. And, you know, I don't know much about Pettine, but the little that I read said that he's a bright guy. He thinks outside the box. He creates a lot of different blitzes, and he's like the proverbial box of chocolate candies. You never know what you're going to get when the defense lines up on the other side of the ball.
Well, and who was he with before?
I think he was with Cleveland. I'm
okay,
not sure about that.
And you know, obviously, even people who don't know much about football. You know, it's been Dom Capers for so long, and, you know, it was really, you know, again, that was not really a shock. I think that people recognize that maybe there needed to be a change. But, you know, Dom Capers has done such an amazing job, or did such an amazing job for so many years, that this new guy has really got, you know, some big shoes to follow.
You know, I think Muhammad Wilkerson is one of the top defensive ends, and if he can come close to what you guys got out of Reggie White, you're going to be a bunch of very happy Packer fans, particularly on defense.
But, you know, I think, I don't know if there'll ever be another Reggie White, and you probably could agree with me.
Oh, he was
because
great with the Eagles. They were nuts to let him go.
He was more than a good or great football player. He really, I believe that when he came into the Packers, he was the leader of that team. I mean, he really, in a way that didn't create friction, he just took over. I mean, nobody could not like Reggie White. And, of course, we were delighted that the the Philadelphia didn't sign him, there was a lot of excuses, according to an interview I remember with Reggie's wife after he passed away. She said that Reggie wanted to stay in Philadelphia, and he was not offered a contract because I guess they had their nose out of shape because he had been one of the players who had been in the forefront of the free agency.
Well, I don't know a lot about that. I prefer just to watch the game on the field and not worry too much about the politics of the game off the field. But you're absolutely right in this case, Pat. The Eagles' management at that time, it wasn't Jeff Gloria. It was his predecessor. And I think that, quite frankly, the Eagles got some bad advice.
Oh, I think they got terrible advice because you could understand where Reggie would not have wanted to go to Green Bay. I mean, you know, remember, I mean, Green Bay is a mill town, basically white. I mean, they're very, very accepting of the black players, don't get me wrong. But it's certainly not East Coast. It's certainly, he was totally uprooting his family, kind of like when Lombardi went out there and, you know, his family didn't even know where Green Bay was. Now, of course, it's on the map. And I think Reggie took that that job, not only because God told him to go there, and we've all heard that story about a zillion times, but also I think he thought it was his opportunity to go to a Super Bowl. I mean, I really think that that probably had to be something that he felt at the time with Brett Favre that they could easily, not easily, but they could get to a Super Bowl. And he wanted that ring.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me one bit. I always admired Reggie White for his leadership, both on and off the field, his style of play, and also, candidly, for his quiet piety. He was somebody who was really worthy of respect in every regard.
He was, and he was a welcome change compared to some of them. And, in fact, that was one of his concerns, whether or not he'd be able to continue his ministry. And I remember that the Packers made some accommodations for him that he could, in fact, continue his ministry. And I don't recall exactly where it was. I don't recall where it was, so I'm not going to speculate. But he was, from the day he got there, in fact, you know, I don't have a Brett Favre jersey. I have a Reggie White jersey.
Well, that's nice to hear. But do you think you're going to have a DeShone Kizer jersey? The Packers just picked him up off of the Cleveland trash heap, remember.
Right. Well, he's going to be the backup, isn't he?
He'll be Aaron Rodgers' backup. And what do you think of him as an understudy? He started 15 games for Cleveland last year. And he had a very challenging season.
Right.
And,
well, they had a very challenging season. I'm assuming that the thought was that in the event that Aaron is hurt, that they needed somebody who could come in and that they feel that he could come in and take over, where there was a realization that Huntley was just not going to be able to do that and did not do that.
I don't think Huntley was ever really groomed to be a backup. And, you know, it's kind of tough to play behind Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I think he was. I think that Aaron Rodgers was probably a very good mentor to Huntley. I mean, it's just, I don't think it was Aaron's fault.
The Packers have always had that tradition of one, the starter mentoring the backup.
Well,
years.
Not really true, because I have a feeling, and I, you know me, I loved Brett Favre, but he did not have a reputation of being a good mentor.
I'm surprised to hear that, because I had heard differently. But, you know, you're the Packer fan here,
well,
and I'm going to defer to you.
You know, I think that Aaron probably learned almost in spite of Favre. And I really liked Favre, but I do believe that Aaron, well, you could see it. I mean, you could see when Huntley was playing, Aaron would be over on the sidelines. He'd be talking to him. You know, he was doing everything possible. Of course, he wanted to save the Packers season, and he was hoping he'd get back in the game and that they'd get into the playoffs. But you know, I don't know anything about this new quarterback that's coming in. One of the things that the Packers have to start doing, however, is looking for someone who can take over from Rodgers. Remember, they were incredibly lucky. They've had two quarterbacks from, when did Brett start? 91?
Brett Favre, I think, started in 97.
No, I think it was before that. Maybe I'm wrong. But they've had two quarterbacks in a span when most teams have had four, five, or six. I mean, you know, they've just been incredibly lucky, you know, over the years. Not that they've always had great quarterbacks, but, I mean, look how many years Bart Starr played. But back then, I guess quarterbacks did play for a longer period of time. But, you know, you had Bart Starr for years. You had Brett Favre. I mean, that's the thing that, and I suppose growing up, I saw so many of those players playing for many years on the Packers that, you know, now those of us who perhaps are older, when they get rid of somebody like Jordy Nelson and...
Oh, you're sorry to see him go, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, you say, wait a minute, you know, look at how long, you know, Nitschke played, for example.
Sure.
I mean,
but, you know, the one thing I like about football is that players don't seem to move around as much as they do in a lot of other leagues. I hate the phrase rooting for the laundry, but that's kind of what you're doing. You're rooting for your team rather than for the guys who are playing for it because they move around so much.
Well, and you're right. When I was a kid, I was a huge baseball fan, but you had the team staying together. I mean, you know, the team that came, the Milwaukee Braves that came from Boston, you know, I can't remember any of the major players being traded or leaving the team. Then, of course, the whole team left to go down to Atlanta. But other than that, I mean, you could become a fan and you didn't have to change allegiance from one team to another. And I think that's what happens with kids today. You know, they become a fan. And many, many people, by the way, became Green Bay fans because of Favre. I mean, they really did. You know, they saw how good he was, and they just became... It was like, look at all the Cowboys. I mean, people became Cowboy fans because of, you know, some of the players on the Cowboys. I mean, so...
Well, you know, Pat, I've got a real dilemma tonight. The Pittsburgh Penguins and the New Jersey Devils are facing off, and in the... The Flyers have not played well lately. The last 10, they're 4-5-1, and the Devils are 4-6-0. And right now, they're both a wild card team. Meanwhile, the Columbus Blue Jackets jumped ahead of the Flyers. They now have 89 points compared to the 88. They're tied with Pittsburgh for second. I find myself in the position of rooting for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, come on.
Tonight, so that they beat Columbus.
Oh, come on.
And and instead of the New Jersey Devils, because the Devils are 6 points behind Philly in the wild card standings, and the Flyers are what I call the schizophrenic team. You never know whether they're going to play great or they're going to play awful. They gave up three goals in the first period to the Detroit Red Wings and skated off 3-1.
It's a good thing John isn't here. It's a good thing John isn't here if you're going to go against his New Jersey Devils.
Oh, well, he knows that I dislike the Pittsburgh Penguins intensely.
I know. That's why. How could you possibly? That would be like me rooting for the Vikings.
Oh, sure.
I don't care. I would never root for the Vikings. That's why I was so pleased that they didn't get into the Super Bowl, because I couldn't imagine what I would do if it was a Vikings-Patriots Super Bowl.
You know, it must have been a lot of fun for you to sit there and watch the Eagles just thump the daylights out of the Vikings.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, of course, because I have a couple grandkids who are Eagles fans, by the way,